Little Emily biting her sister, or is teenage Barry refusing to help around the house? Consulting psychologist David Carey joins us to answer all your parenting woes. Despair not, listeners, because David Carey is here to offer detailed solutions to pretty much all your problems. David, good afternoon.
Thank you.
I have a 12, soon to be 13-year-old in second year. He is certainly academically capable and is very popular among his peers, but he has a problem doing his homework. He will go out of his way to not do his homework in the evening. The school has recommended that he repeats a year, yet he insists that it may ruin his school life. He's promised to improve his homework, but hasn't quite reached the level we need him at yet. I can see him being held back, and it could lead to him losing contact with close friends and bullying, but I want what's best for him. What do I do?
Well, that's the daftest advice I've ever heard from a school about a homework problem, ever. Now, that's 40 years worth of ever.
Yeah.
what the hell has having him repeat a year got to do with him completing his homework? If someone can make that connection for me out there, please try. The whole issue of being retained a year in school across the whole continuum from primary through secondary has been thoroughly researched in well over 10,000 articles over the years. There is barely a shred of evidence indicating that it is useful in any way to solve academic difficulties, social-emotional difficulties, or anything else as far as that goes. So let's pop the balloon, forget about retention. Boom. Now that I've dealt with that, let's move on to the fact that the little fellow won't do his homework. This is a control issue, one of the few things he can actually control in his life, apart from bodily functions, is... whether or not I do my homework so I can drive all the adults mad in my life by stalling, bargaining, delaying, et cetera, or very simply refusing. My suggestion in all these cases has been the same for 40 years. You sit down with your child and you say, guess what? We're not going to ruin our relationship with you by arguing over homework. We love you dearly. Homework is between you and your teachers. If you want any help from us whatsoever, just ask. We'll do anything we can to assist you, provide you with resources, a space, time, energy, intervention. All you have to do, son, is ask. Apart from that, whether or not you get your homework done is going to be something you'll take up with teachers. Mm. Now, that's what we call a natural consequence, Sean. And if a teacher or teachers follow through when homework isn't done and provide some kind of a consequence, the child will very quickly conform. Mm. If the teacher or teachers do not provide a consequence, it means the homework was a stupid enterprise to begin with and even worse than useless. So that's my advice. And go ahead, parents, and follow it. And you might ring up the year ahead and just say, guess what? We're not going to destroy our relationship with our child by arguing, and punishing and coercing. We love him. We're here to help. Anything we can do to help you help him, we will do. But we're not going to retain him for a year, no matter what you think.
Yeah. Now, okay, from just to be devil's advocate for a second.
Oh, no, maybe that's not like you.
That's not like the school may be thinking, okay, he's in second year. Next year, he's going to have to do the junior cert.
Correct.
He's not doing his homework. He's not getting into good habits of study. He really needs to get into those kind of habits before he enters third year to do the junior cert.
Well, we're told that he's academically capable. So we don't have to worry about some intellectual or cognitive deficit here.
Yeah.
Again, natural consequences fall into place here. Yes, he should be encouraged to do his homework. He should be told that proper study, which is completely different from homework, by the way,
yes,
is really important for your junior cert, or is it really? I question mark whether junior cert is actually worth anything at all, but that's the game that you have to play. And
it's
he needs
tremendously
to learn
important, David. That's just in case one of my children is listening.
Okay, right, yes.
Especially the one doing the junior cert.
Sorry, Sean's children. Your daddy is right. It's tremendously, listen to daddy, not David. So I think, again, natural consequences will fall into place here now. We just simply cannot coerce, force, or cajole children to do all the things we know they ought to be doing. Mm. It's as simple as that. And when it comes down to a battle as strong as this, and a young fellow or girl really digs in their heels, I think it's time to call the game, because it takes two people to play this game or to dance this dance. It really does. And when the parents step out of it by saying along the lines of what I said, look, we love you, we're here, we want to help. Anything we can do, sonny boy, you just ask. We're here. Otherwise, over to you. Guess what? Mm. This is your life. You're soon to be 13. It's time to take responsibility in part for your education.
Yeah.
And I look, just see what happens. Try it, parents, try it. If it doesn't work, you can always text in and say what horrible advice I gave you.
I think that strikes me, having had like a load of kids going through various exams, that some of them are just, seem to me that in their personalities, they're more suited to doing exams, or more suited to do, you know, they're more methodical.
Yes.
And better at studying.
Yes.
And others just, they just can't concentrate on this stuff because it bores them. But I know it doesn't mean that one's brighter than the other. Their brains work in different ways.
I think that's a very good point. And I think we have to also recognize that studying is a skill that one learns.
Yeah.
It is very often not directly taught by parents or by teachers, except resource teachers who work with children with learning difficulties are pretty good, and learning support teachers, at helping children understand how to study. And it comes down to some very simple things, Sean. If you're reading in your textbook a paragraph, you need to be able to identify the topic sentence and the two or three sentences that reinforce and support the topic sentences. Those are the things you highlight with your little highlighter. Now, some people, this goes for adults as it does for children and adolescents, haven't learned to do that.
Mm.
And therefore, they need to be taught. And all this pulling out of your hair and screaming and ranting and despairing, hoping that they can do it, is useless unless you teach them how to do it. So identifying what the problem is can be a big step in resolving the problem. I know nothing about this boy, so I don't know why he's not studying. It could be just opposition. It could be that he's under some stress in school. There's a lot of factors that can play into this, but it could be a skill deficit too. So I think some simple conversation with him in a low threat mode will be very helpful. We're here to help you. Because we love you, and we want you to do well in school as well as you're able. So help us help you. What can we do? And it may be a change of location for the homework. It may be less time. He's 12. That means his level of attention and concentration can best expected to be sustained for 1/2 hour. That's 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that means he'll need a break after 30 minutes. And that could be a 10-minute break or a 20-minute break. So give it a try. Work with me, parents. But my most important advice is simple. Nothing in life really is worth destroying your relationship with your child. Homework causes far too much consternation and difficulty in so many families.
Mm. Right. Next question is, I have a sensitive 7-year-old girl in first class. There are two other girls in class that she is friendly with, but I found out lately that one is stopping her playing with anyone else during the break and screaming at her if she does, and the other might be staying back a year. I spoke to the teacher, who said she would keep an eye on it it's my daughter who's being affected, but it's my daughter who's being affected. I'm considering changing schools if I can't get it sorted. I've been using positive reinforcement and telling her she can play with any classmates, but feel this will continue for the rest of the year as the girl who's bullying her has a very strong personality. Any advice?
Well, my advice is to take this further. Interesting that embedded in this is there's one girl doing and screaming at her, and the other might be staying back a year. Here we go again, you know, staying back a year. You need to talk to teacher, and you need to make it abundantly clear that the school's anti-bullying policy must be followed. That is probably available on the school website, so I would encourage you to download it and be completely familiar with it, and let class teacher know you're completely familiar with it. This is an issue that's happening in school. We do not, as a general rule, try to help our children adjust to injustice. We solve injustice.
Mm.
So what has to be done here is more concerted open and frank conversation with teacher and give a week's time frame. See if it resolves. If it doesn't, I think you need to go back to teacher and say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to talk to the principal about this. Now, I'm not complaining about you. I'm raising the issue because my child is, in fact, being bullied by two other girls, and we know who they are, and it has to stop.
Yeah.
Now, the vast majority of schools, primary and secondary, are pretty good at dealing with this. I've run into a good few from what I hear now from parents and young people who haven't dealt with it effectively, but most are really good at dealing with it. And it can be pretty quickly extinguished when the anti-bullying policy is followed in a delicate and fine way. For example, I ran across a situation recently where a young boy was being bullied in school with a lot of really horrible name-calling. This was a young teenager, actually. And of course, the issue for the teenager was, don't tell anybody, Mom and Dad, because I don't want to look like a rat.
Yeah.
But the school played it brilliantly. The school went to the two or three lads who were involved, who had been identified, and said, along these lines, a teacher has overheard and observed you doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Boy's out of it.
Yeah.
And in fact, it happened when the boy just so happened not to be in school that day. He had had a medical appointment. So the parents had told the year head, and they played it that way. Now, I think that's a brilliant solution to a very similar issue, by the way.
Just referring back to the earlier question, Gary says 6 years, 3 kids, and around 60 fights too late. That's not the subject of how to study. Owen in Limerick says, we were never taught how to study in school or secondary school. I found it boring or listened to music while studying. I didn't do as well as I could have as a result. And a fair few people text in as well about on that question that He's in second year and he's 12 going on 13. He's quite young for that year, and maybe that's a reason to keep him back.
No, that's not a reason to keep anyone back. You cannot induce maturity by digging up your rose and replanting it the next year. And in fact, there's a very interesting department circular, Sean, that relates to retention in primary school. Very interesting. I think it's 3204 or some such. I can't remember the exact circular, but it says, grade retention, now it speaks to primary school, but we can extrapolate from this based on what we know about the research. Grade retention should only be considered when there are very significant factors involved in the child's educational profile. Now, it doesn't specify what those are, but it goes on to say that if grade retention, in fact, is going to happen, a written plan must be created, which says what will be done differently in the year of retention.
Right.
Now, I think
that's an important thing,
because just repeating the same thing over will lead you probably to the same result. And it goes on further, Sean, by saying grade retention should never happen in sixth class, nor should a child move schools in sixth class for the purpose of grade retention. Why does it say that? Because the research is abundantly clear. When you get to the age of 12 and 13 and you are retained or repeating a class, the risk of early school leaving rises considerably.
Next question is this. I'm a recently separated mother of 4 children, one who is 16 from a previous relationship and 3 from my marriage of 7 years. They're age 7, 4, and 3. They are all boys. In September of last year, my husband suddenly walked out on us. I cannot put into words how devastating the blow was. My relationship with their dad is very difficult at the minute. Their dad also has a new job, and as a result, he can only see them at the weekends. Each of the children are dealing with the separation in their own ways. My 16-year-old, who has had a relationship with this man for 12 years, won't talk to him and is extremely angry and irritable. My 8-year-old is trying his best to keep everyone happy and saying everything is fine, but is increasingly reluctant to spend this much time with his father. My 4-year-old, who has a developmental delay, seems oblivious to the situation. My 3-year-old is now co-sleeping with me, calls out for his father during the night, and is extremely upset when he drops him back. I'm hoping you can advise me as to what is the best way to move forward on this, to deal with the hurt of the separation, and also what recommendations you would have around access to his children, which will be in the best interest of the children and everyone going forward. That's from a heartbroken, worried mom.
Well, this is a human being carrying a very heavy, heavy boulder and trying to fly at the same time. Overstressed, hurt, traumatized, dealing with all those children in a wide age range, 3 through 16, one of them having a developmental delay and therefore a bit of a special case. I am not going to make any comments about access. I don't know anything about these children or their father or the mother, so I cannot. Get some support and help for yourself, please, ASAP.
Yeah.
You cannot go through this alone. Support and help doesn't necessarily mean you have to go pay a counselor. If you have extended family with whom you have a reasonable relationship, you need to spend time with them. You need maybe to go to your own mom or dad and do your crying there. You need people to talk with. You also need, whenever it's possible, and it may never be possible in any kind of easy way, some lightness and fun in your life. If you have girlfriends or some men friends, in other words, go out for a cup of coffee once in a while.
Mm.
See if you can't let the 16-year-old mind the others and get out to the pub with some of your friends and listen to some music some night.
Yeah.
It's really important to nourish yourself through these incredibly challenging and difficult times. The children may or may not need some professional intervention. Often when the custodial parent gets some semblance of peace in their life, inside themselves and outside themselves, their stress and anxiety levels diminish, and the children pick up less of the stress and anxiety and therefore do a bit better. 16-year-old who has spent 12 years of his life with his father has now witnessed father abandon the family and doesn't have much immediate access, so he's bound up with anger. These things usually dissipate over time. Not every child in a situation like this requires professional intervention.
Yeah.
But you should look for the usual warning signs, and we've gone through them so many times. Changes in sleep pattern, academic difficulty, changes in memory, general changes in personality, change in peer group, change in eating habits, et cetera, et cetera. If you're beginning to see those things and they last more than 4, 5, or 6 weeks, that's a sign that your child may need a little professional intervention. So keep a watchful eye. Most of all, look after yourself. And in regards to the access issue, that is probably going to be resolved ultimately, hopefully in mediation, hopefully, productively through the court system.
Mm. I mean, I get the sense that she sees that the kids should have access to the dad.
Yes.
I don't think she's going to particularly fight that, but I suppose it's a way of helping the kids come to some sense of normality about this, because it all seems very raw at the moment.
I think if this woman talks to some of her friends and acquaintances, she will discover that some of them are separated, because this is not at all uncommon anymore, and there are certain patterns of access that are quite typical. And most often awarded and ordered by the courts. I'm not going to outline what they are because it's a case-by-case basis, but you do see a particular pattern emerging when you're dealing with 100 or 200 cases of separated parents who have had to go to the courts, or through mediation, by the way, and agreed a reasonable access plan. So there is some, there's sort of a template out there, if you will.
Yeah.
And you can discover it by talking to people. Of course, you need to be careful who you talk with as well. Because there's a lot of big mouths around who will misinterpret and say things that you perhaps don't want said to other people.
And people who will try to turn it into a war, or feel that you're talking to them because you want them to take a side rather than necessarily try and give you advice.
Yeah, a lot of people have a failure in growing up in that regard, because growing up means you do not use the children to fight the battle with your spouse, no matter how much bitterness there is. Your communication about the children should be reasonable at all times and involving the best interest of the child and children at their developmental stage. If we can keep it to that, things work out pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
And the long-term effects of marital dissolution, separation, and or divorce when there isn't excessive acrimony are pretty good for the children. But they're not so good when there is a lot of bitterness, fighting, and the children are used as cannon fodder between the partners.
It strikes me, though, I mean, she does say that the relationship with the dad is very difficult at the moment, and very understandably, but, you know, he should be kept in the loop about all this
Yes.
Without kind of saying this is all your fault or anything, but just, yeah, just so he knows that, you know, it's in both our interests to...
Yes, but sometime, definitely, and if you can do that, hallelujah and congratulations. I've seen it far too often when attempts to communicate about the children are interpreted by one party or the other as a sign of that party's failure in parenting. Mm. In other words, sure, the children are distressed because it's how you're dealing with them. It's what you're saying to them about me. If you weren't so messed up about all of this, by the way, I wouldn't have left in the first place, and now you're poisoning them. And when it's interpreted like that, there is no communication.
Yeah.
And that sometimes means you can't even mediate through this.
Yeah.
You know, and then look what happens. The courts get involved. The solicitors get involved. The stress, the distress, the damage done to everyone in that process is horrendous.
Yeah.
And then you have to deal, of course, with separation and divorce law in the Republic of Ireland, which is crazy and not really up to snuff, unfortunately. And so it's ugly.
Yeah. So, yeah, first off, be kind to yourself.
Number one.
My 5-year-old sleeps with her 9-year-old sister despite having her own room. The 9-year-old really wants to sleep alone, but the 5-year-old is distraught. Any ideas?
Yeah, get the 5-year-old out of the 9-year-old's room. And so he or she will be distraught for a while. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, really. That's pretty much all you can do about
that's
it.
That's about all you can do. Yeah. Look, be a parent. Do your job. You have to do what's right for both children. At 9 and 5, sometimes they can cohabit in the same room with no difficulties. If you can't find another room for the 5-year-old, you got a built-in logistics problem there, and it may not be solvable. But if you have another room, time to make the move. Involve the child in the decoration of their bedroom. We've gone through this many, many times. You involve them, it works out better than just picking them up, transplanting them, in other words, from one pot to another. You know?
Just going back to some of the other questions we had. Texter says, I was horrendously bullied by 3 girls in secondary school. I never got over it and find it incredibly hard to deal with women. I'm 50 now and single.
Get some therapy.
God. Get some therapy. A parent, and not being glib there, that's astounding. A parent, now this is on the homework question for the 12/13-year-old. A parent can't absolve themselves of responsibility for their child's education. It's not a battle for a teacher to take on. Parents step up. Children don't know what's best for them. Sometimes parenting is hard.
Yes, sometimes parenting is hard. In fact, it's hard almost all the time.
Yeah.
But I do not believe in getting involved in prolonged battles about homework. There are very often rational solutions to that problem. I've outlined exactly what to do, the steps to take, and I've actually articulated exactly what words you should use when you talk to the child. See if it works.
Yeah.
Homework is low stakes in the academic life of children.
Listen in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Moncrief for more parenting advice from David Carey.